Why, hello there. I didn't expect to see so many people here. Bethlehem is such a small, sleepy village that you don't run into this size crowd very often. Oh, but you must be here for the community feast. You see, I'm not from here originally, so I don't know all of you yet, but you've probably come in from the hills outside of Bethlehem and the countryside to be here today to all get together and celebrate the harvest that is going on. Excuse me for not introducing myself. My name is Ruth. I've always liked my name because Ruth means friend. I am so glad that my parents gave me that name. And this is my son, Boaz. Boaz is his father. I am sorry. We thought about naming him Boaz Jr. His name is actually Obed. Obed is such a good baby. And I am so glad to have him. Life is good these days, but it was not always the case. And while we have a few minutes, let me tell you my story. You see, I am from a place called Moab. It is the neighboring country, but the Israelites and the Moabites have never gotten along well. There's been an ongoing feud for years and years, centuries in fact. I'm not even really sure how it started. You see, Naomi, who is my mother-in-law, she is from Bethlehem. She and her husband and her two sons moved to Moab about 10 years or so ago, and they came because there was a famine here in Bethlehem. Ironic, because Bethlehem means house of bread. But nothing was growing. There wasn't anything to eat. No bread for anyone in this house of bread. So out of desperation, the family moved to Moab. And the sons grew up, and I married one of their sons, and my friend Orpah married their other son. And then their father, Elimelech, died, leaving Naomi a widow. But that wasn't all. Tragedy struck again, as not one, but both of her sons died. So there we were, three women, all widows, living together in Moab. And our fortune wasn't very good because a famine hit the land of Moab and we didn't have the means to support ourselves. We didn't have food to eat. We really didn't know what to do. Out of desperation, Naomi suggested that we move to Bethlehem, her hometown. And there were three of us. And we were all grieving. Some days were pretty good, and we would talk and laugh, and it was like there was hope for the future. But then, other days, you would be in such despair. Because if you've ever lost a loved one, you know what I mean. It was awful. And it wasn't just one person we loved, but three people who had died. All the men in the family, and it made it very hard for us as widows to support ourselves. And neither Orpah or I had any children. And so the three of us, three women, set out on foot to make that long journey from Moab to Bethlehem. Well, along the way, Naomi, in her desperation, turned to us and said, "I don't have any more sons. I don't have any way to support you. You too are young enough to start again. You should return. Go back to your mother's homes. You could marry, make a new life for yourselves here in Moab. You are from here. I, as Naomi, am a foreigner." Well, the tears started to come for both Orpah and I. We loved Naomi so much, and yet she was asking us to do one of the hardest things ever, that is to leave her. She had stood by us through our grieving, through our hunger. We clung to each other, and I really admired Orpah for having the courage to listen and do as Naomi asked. So she left, going back to her mother's house. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave Naomi. Our bond was too strong. She was all I had. I couldn't leave her on her own. So I said, no, I wouldn't do that. I guess I can be kind of stubborn sometimes. I said to her, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. And so when she saw how adamant I was, she said, okay. And the two of us continued on our very long journey to Bethlehem. Finally, we came over a hill, and we could see the town below us. I had heard many stories of Bethlehem from Naomi and from my husband of his growing up years. So I was excited to see it, and even more excited that this long and arduous journey was coming to an end. And much to our surprise, when we got to town, we were welcomed. People remembered Naomi, and they welcomed her with open arms. They had missed her. She had been gone for nearly 10 years. Naomi means pleasantness, and everybody had loved Naomi. But being so exhausted and tired and grieving, she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Mara means bitterness. I had struggled to put my finger on how to describe how Naomi was feeling, but bitterness was exactly what was going on there. And they surrounded her and were excited to see her. And what surprised me even more is that they welcomed me, an outsider, a stranger, a Moabite. I spoke differently. I looked different. I had different customs. And yet, because I was with Naomi, they welcomed me in almost as part of the family, as one of the village. Well, we found a place to sleep for the night. And when we woke up in the morning, things were looking better. A good night's sleep can do that, giving you a new outlook on life. I had heard from Naomi about the practice of gleaning that goes on here in Bethlehem. That is, when farmers are harvesting, they leave a little bit behind in the fields. And anyone, especially the poor, are able to go and pick up what is left behind. It is a way of caring for those who are less fortunate in the community. I never thought that that would be me. And yet, when I woke up that morning, I decided that I might not be a son, but I'm all that Naomi has. And so I told her that I was going to go out and glean and hopefully find enough grain that we could make some bread so that we had food to eat, that we wouldn't be dependent on others. I was a little bit afraid of leaving Naomi alone when she is so depressed and down, and yet it was all I could do. I had to support the two of us. So she pointed out which direction I should go, and I set out. And as it turns out, I was working in the field of a man named Boaz. He was very nice and kind, and he even came and talked to me and said, "Stick close to the other women, and when you're thirsty, you can have a cool drink of water." He didn't have to do that. I was a stranger in the place. But he was so kind. When I went home that evening, tired but with some grain, I told Naomi all about my day's experience. And she said that Boaz actually is a distant relative of hers. She encouraged me to get to know him better. And to make a long story short, Boaz and I got married. And now we have our son Obed. And Naomi spoils him just a bit. He's her first grandchild, hopefully the first of many. Okay, maybe she spoils him more than a bit. But it is so wonderful to see that she is not bitter anymore. She hasn't said, "Call me Mara." She is back to the meaning of her name, Naomi, which is pleasantness. And I continue to be so grateful that people welcomed me into this community when I am a Moabite, an outsider. Because I have heard so many stories of how foreigners and immigrants are rejected and not loved and cared for, treated as different or put in camps and given very, very little food and maybe not medicine or families even being split apart. I am so grateful that there are people around me who loved and cared for me even at the lowest of times, that cared for Naomi, that provided for us in this house of bread. I believe that there is a prayer about praying to God, thanking him for daily bread. I hope that's a prayer that you say often, because it is so important as God teaches us to love our neighbors, including the strangers and the immigrants. I hope that all immigrants are treated as well as I have been. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, and I see Boaz coming over the hills now. We will see you all at the community feast. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we got a bit acquainted.